Good evening. We're starting our series on dating. It is great. It is. We're starting our series on dating. This should not be confused with our other series on the Jewish home. They're worlds apart. The Jewish home is about how to build a relationship from the moment you're married, from the chuppah, or from the moment you got engaged. Our class is about how to find the right person to get there. Totally different things. Right? In our class on the Jewish home, we're talking about how to make it work. In our class on dating, we're talking about how to choose the person with whom to make it work. Totally different. So our class on dating will be, Bezrat Hashem, encompass a few things. We will discuss, when should you start dating? How do you know when's the right time to begin? How do you try to get dates? What are you looking for in the right date, the right girl to marry? How do you prepare yourself for this? Once you're offered a girl, what should you do? How do you treat the shadchan, and should you research the girl or not? And then we'll discuss the first conversation, the first date, developing a relationship. How do you know if she's Mrs. Right? Do you bring your parents into the picture? Who should you consult with? And finally, should you get engaged? When? How? That's the scope of what we hope to cover here in the coming 3 weeks. If we need to, we'll take a Thursday night to have a few more classes on this. But now we'll begin. So when I first came to Machon Meir, I was teaching here for a little bit, and I went to the Rosh Yeshiva, I went to Rabbi Bigun, and I said, our guys want to get married. How can we help them get shiduchim? How can we help the guys find girls to marry? So he said to me, it's an important thing, you're right, but before we deal with that, we have to deal with a different question, which is, how can we help them know when's the right time to get married? Meaning, before you decide they should be dating, let's first help them ensure that they only start dating when it's the right time. That a person doesn't start dating when it's too early. So that's a very important point, and that will be our first discussion tonight. When should I start? And we've had students leave us in many directions. We've had students leave Machon Meir only to become the chief rabbi of Tzahal. Right? You guys know the former chief rabbi of Tzahal was a Machon Meir alumni. We've had students leave us to become Rashi Yeshiva. We've had students leave us to become teachers. We've had students leave us to become agronomists and scientists and nuclear physicists. And in every area of life, you could basically find students of Machon Meir who have evolved into that area. We have a politician in Germany who's a student of ours. He doesn't tell anyone that, but he learned here for a while. All around the world we've had students, and we wish them well, and we try to stay in touch with them. And sometimes students take paths that are not exactly the continuation of what they've learned in Machon Meir, and we respect them, and we stay in touch with them, and we wish everyone well. Well, sometimes students tell me they're leaving to join certain trends within Judaism. And I tell them, when you're going to go there, I just want you to be careful of one thing. Promise me you won't get married too fast. Because there are places where they push you to get married very fast. You dated her twice. What are you? Boyfriend and girlfriend? No, marry her. And what we've seen is catastrophic. We've seen people who were pushed into getting married after 2 dates, after 4 dates, after 6 dates. And it just doesn't work. We've seen so many students who have gone to different streams, and we respect that. Again, it's not an issue of whether you should go that route or not. I don't mind. You want to shave your head, you want to shave your wife's head, you want to have kids who have face down to here, I don't mind. That's fine. I'll be happy to come to your simchas if you invite me. It's not a problem. We have students who that's how they bring up their kids, and I come to their brisson and their stuff like that. We respect that. But in your interest, our goal is be prepared to date. And when you date long enough so that it makes sense, you should get married. And don't let anyone else push you, because at the end of the day, the outcome of your decision is born by you and your spouse and your children. And no one else lives in that house but you and your spouse and the children. So you have to take responsibility for everything we're going to learn here. You have to decide whether what I say makes sense or it doesn't. I'm not telling you anything here that's from Sinai. Every other class we study, this is the Chafetz Chaim, this is Rav Halperin, this is the Tanakh. We're learning sources. Here, I'm explaining logic. I'm going to try to explain everything I say to the best I can. And you have to decide whether you buy it or not. But you should remember that the responsibility of the outcome is on you. At the end of the day, life is about making decisions. You have to decide who you will marry. People look for outs. Let someone else decide it for me. It doesn't work that way. At the end of the day, you decide. Even if you decide to let someone else decide for you, you've decided. You could have a lot of friends and counselors and therapists and confidants. At the end of the day, it's your decision. Whatever you do is your decision, so take responsibility for it. Imagine you're walking in the desert, okay? So Menachem's walking in the desert, and he meets his friend Yoel. Yoel is on a swing. He's going back and forth. And Menachem has a bowl with water. So he says, Yoel, you look thirsty. Can I offer you a drink? And Yoel says, boy, am I thirsty. Can you pass me that bowl? And Menachem says, I love you, Yoel. I'll be happy to give you the bowl. Just stop the swing. Because if I give it to you when you're on the swing, you know what's going to happen? It's going to splash here and splash there. Most of it is lost. We're in the desert. Yoel, you need that water. Stop the swing. And what does Yoel say? Menachem, I thought you were my buddy. Why aren't you giving me that water? And what does Menachem say? Yoel, I want to give you the water. Stop the swing. And what does Yoel say? But Menachem, I'm thirsty. Give me that water. And Menachem says, it's right here. You just got to stop the swing. Yoel says, Menachem, didn't you hear me? I'm thirsty. So if Menachem's a good friend, he says to Yoel, I know you're thirsty, and that's why I'm going to wait till you get off that swing before I give you the water. Well, you guys figured it out. The water is the offer, the shiduch, the marriage. And the swing is life. In order for you to start dating, you have to stop the swing. If you're in flux, you're still making major decisions about your life, then you have to be in equilibrium when you make this decision. You can't do it when you're on a high, but you're not at equilibrium. So if you tell me I'm at Machon Meir and I'm a constant and this is my life, and I'll say, how long have you been here? And you're going to say, I'm here already 2 whole days. What, are you kidding? I'll say, wait a second. Hold your horses. Take your time. When you can say that for a minimum of 6 months, and preferably for a year, you have held constant on the major components of marriage. What are those? Your value system. Okay? Your ethical system. Your priorities. Your goals. Your perspective on life. When you've held those in constant for 6 months and preferably a year, then you can say, okay, I'm on a path. I've started being at equilibrium. But if 3 weeks ago you decided you're making Aliyah, if 6 weeks ago you decided you're keeping Shabbat, if only 8 weeks ago you decided that you're keeping Kashrut, then you need some time to land. You need some time to make that a part of who you are. A person can say, I'm a big believer in Zionism. How long have you been a believer in Zionism? Well, 2 months ago, I was fighting for peace now. And then I came to Machon Meir, and now I've seen the light. Well, hold your horses. You know, you have to land. And very often people think they've landed. And people deceive themselves. I often ask, when students ask me if they're ready to start dating, I often ask them, what were your downs like? Everyone has ups and downs. What were your downs like in the last 3 months, 4 months? If a person tells me, well, 3 months ago I had a really bad Shabbat and I just lost it all, so I say, okay, so that's legitimate. There's nothing wrong with that. Part of growth is we have downs, but then you need more time. Take your time. Make sure the Torah, keeping Shabbat, is a part of you. You're marrying someone who's counting on you to lead a certain lifestyle. And we have mornings where we're more inspired and mornings where we're less inspired. We have times where we could run up to the Aron HaKodesh and kiss it, and then we have times where we find it difficult to walk into a shul. It's part of life. But if I can hold on to equilibrium, if I can say, okay, even if I've had Shabbatot where I showed up later to shul, but I go to shul, I've had Shabbatot where I was less enthused, but I kept Shabbat. I've had times where I was less interested in davening, but I put on tefillin every day. If we have a certain minimum that we've held dear and we've retained, and we can say it's a part of me, then I could know that I'm at a certain place. If I say, no, I'm not there, but I'm still at equilibrium, that's fine. But then you have to know how to present yourself. Meaning a person can meet equilibrium and say, this is my level. My level is X, Y, or Z. I'm not saying that person shouldn't get married. I'm just saying you have to know you're at equilibrium. But if a person knows that, many, many years ago, there was a knock on our door. It was the eve of Rosh Hashanah. There's a man standing there, I never met him before. He says, are you Rabbi Frankenthal? Some people say that, yeah. So he says, I need to ask you a question. So he's standing there without a yarmulke, I don't know who he is. I said, okay, come on in, what's your name? Can I get you a drink? He says, you have a yarmulke? I said, yeah. I went, I got him a yarmulke. So he says to me, on his way to my house, his yarmulke flew off and went down a slope. It's funny because it happened to me this week, so I thought of him. When he said the story to me, it sounded far-fetched, but it happened to me this week. This is a new yarmulke, see? He says, I was on my way here, I was in the airport, I wasn't paying attention, so I went into a restaurant and I bought a cheeseburger. Said, okay. So he says, it's Rosh Hashanah tonight. What am I supposed to do? So I said, well, how long have you been eating kosher for? So he said, a few months ago, I decided I'm going to eat kosher. But as I was in the airport waiting for my flight, I forgot all about it. So I just walked into a restaurant. I ordered a cheeseburger. I ate it. I finished eating it. I boarded the plane. A few hours later, I said to myself, wait a second. That wasn't kosher. So he says, what am I supposed to do now? So what's the right answer? So I said to him at the time, forget about it. Move forward. Look forward to a good year. We make mistakes. Don't think about it. Think about how you'll make next year better. You can't sit there and think and beat yourself up. That'll take everything out of you. And this week, I heard a quote from Rav Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael. I said it to him because I just thought it was right. But I heard that Rav Ruderman said, he said to his students, you know, if a student spends a lot of time thinking, what did I do wrong? And then he spends a lot of time regretting it. And then he thinks to himself, how am I going to become a better person? Not so sure that was the Yetzer Tov. Maybe that was the Yetzer Hara. Because it could be all that time he spent thinking, what did I do wrong, took so much strength out of him that he can't continue. He's not going to succeed now in building himself. Who said that's your good inclination to do that? Maybe that's destructive. Maybe you have to focus on looking forward and building forward. So I'm so happy. I heard it. I said it maybe 10 years ago when this guy knocked on our door. But this guy can't go on a date and say, yeah, I eat kosher. He can say, I tried to eat kosher. I'm still working on it. Which is a legitimate state to be in, depending on how long you've been there. So I'm not saying that a person can't date if they haven't attained a certain level of religiosity. I am saying that you have to ask yourself, where do I want to go? Where am I today? And where am I today is defined not by where I am today. It's by where I've been the last 6 months, 12 months. That's my equilibrium. From there, I can say this is where I am. I can say I'm a work in progress. I'm definitely a work in progress. A person can say I'm trying to build. I'm trying to get there. But there's a difference between being there and trying to get there. I think there's a person, a basic ethical level that has to be there when you date. which means if a girl is dating you and it's under the understanding that you're going to keep Shabbat, you're going to keep Kashrut, you're going to lead a religious lifestyle, you have to know yourself that ethically you're going to live up to that, even if you're going to wake up many mornings uninspired. She's counting on you. And it's not just a question of how inspired I am. I'm building a home with this person. So we live in a day and age where a lot of things are decided based on your current passion. Well, passion wanes and waxes. It's not a constant in our life. You can't just live life based on passion. There has to be a consistency I demand of myself. And that's what we discuss with the girl. So when a guy tells me, I'm dating a girl, and she says she wants a husband that will learn Torah half a day. I say, how long has she wanted that? Oh, she went to an amazing class last week and she decided that's what she wants for life. So, okay, maybe. I don't know. You know, this goes for boys and girls. We have to date out of equilibrium. And that means sometimes we postpone dating. That means you guys are all invited to listen to the class, but that doesn't mean every one of you should leave this class and go try to set yourself up a date. One of the messages of you might take away from this class is I need more time. I can tell you I did this with myself as well. I wanted to start dating at a much younger age than I actually did. I postponed it by a half a year and then another half a year and then another half a year. I waited about a year and a half, maybe 2 years from when I wanted to start dating to when I actually started dating. I had to keep testing myself, make sure I knew what I wanted. Someone's counting on me. Just 1 second. So, we very often deceive ourselves, and that's why my strong recommendation is go to someone that knows you. Maybe a rabbi that knows you, maybe a relative that knows you, someone who can be honest with you and give you a reflection of who you really are. Because we tend to see ourselves in an inaccurate way. We are very partial. So my recommendation is ask someone else. If for whatever reason you don't want to ask someone else, so A, I think you're making a mistake, and B, then use these guidelines. Ask yourself if on all these parameters, your aspirations, your values, yeah? Take the parameters we've spoken about and ask yourself, have I been constant there? Yes?
Who was the person you asked for advice?
Well, for every person, it's someone else. It might be a teacher who you feel knows you well. It might be a relative who you feel shares enough in the worldview with you and knows you well enough to give you an honest opinion. Now, they might be different than you. Sometimes your parents have different values, but they're open enough and honest enough that they can give you a vantage point. And if it's going to be a rabbi, then it should be someone who knows you, and preferably someone who has experience with Chozrim B'Tshuva. Okay, so we have this internal process we have to undergo to figure out, are we ready? And hopefully we've taken some counsel, and we've come to the wonderful conclusion, we're ready. Okay, what's next? So, it would help to try and figure out what we want to do with life. What am I looking for? Okay, so I'm going to cut the chase and go straight to what you all want to hear. How important are looks? You decide how important are looks. You live life not with looks. Looks are not the most important thing. But every person has their threshold. You have to be comfortable with the person. You don't choose a person to marry based on their looks, based on their smile. You choose a person to marry based on many things. As Freud said, the decision as to who we marry comes from the core of who we are. It is all-encompassing, that decision. And so don't make the mistake of being blinded. So in order to decide who we're going to marry, we're going to try to figure out who we are in order to figure out who matches us. Yes?
Is who we are who we want to be?
Great question. I believe that who we want to be is a certain component of who we are. And that's what I mentioned before, aspirations, goals. It's not the same as who I am. It's not the values I have yet. It might not be my accomplishments as of now, but it's a goal. It's a goal. And sometimes the goal is less defined. Sometimes the goal is a direction and not necessarily a specific thing. You might not know that you want to make Aliyah at age 26. You might know that in general you would like to see yourself bringing up your family in Israel, or with a certain set of values which you'll have a hard time finding elsewhere, or with a certain set of knowledge. Sometimes it's not necessarily a specific thing. Sometimes it's a set of values that lead you also to certain aspirations. We're going to get to that in a second. That's so we're not yet going to discuss who we're looking for, because to my mind, when I interview people for Shiduchim also, I separate these questions. Who are you and what are you looking for? Many people think it's the same question. It's, what do you care who I am? Who am I looking for? That's not true. The better I understand who you are, the more of a chance I'll be able to figure out who's the right person for you. And that's true for us also. Don't be scared if you don't know the answers to many questions. Sometimes during the dating, as we speak, we suddenly listen to ourselves and we realize things we didn't know about ourselves. That's what a good therapist does. He helps us realize things about ourselves that we wouldn't have realized otherwise through talking to them. So, what we're trying to figure out about ourselves is, what are my values? What do I hold dear? People have a very hard time with this. So, I'll make it easier. If you had to choose 5 values that you want to give your children, what are they? Without thinking too much, you probably know them. You start seeing what are your values. You might say, my values are how you treat your fellow man. Be an honest person. Be a kind person. Be a giving person. Be a person who accomplishes. Don't waste your time. You might say, no, be a calm person. Flow like the water. There can be many things. I'm not coming to say right or wrong. One of the rules in dating is that it's not about right or wrong. It's about match or not match. And so when we try to figure out who we are, we're trying to figure out what matches for us. We're not trying to figure out what does the Shulchan Aruch say. That's in every other class. In this class, we're trying to figure out what matches for me. Who am I and what's good for me? So our value system is going to be, to a large degree, what we give over to our kids, what's important to us, and how we run our house. Next is something that segues out of value system, and that is our priorities. In life, you are always compromising. There's no other way. All life is one big compromise. You thought you were coming to Machon Meir, and you were getting a 5-star hotel. Amazing food, great wines on Shabbos, rooms like with the heating and the air conditioning and the wonderful smell, and suddenly you come to Machon Meir and you discover the guys over here are much better than you imagined. The teachers couldn't have imagined. But the rooms, they're not exactly what you thought they were going to be. So there's a compromise here, right? You got something, you lost something. You tell yourself it's well worth it, but it's not exactly what you thought. I mean, the food's great. The roommates might be wonderful. But you didn't think you'd share the room with so many people and creatures. That was a joke. So coming back to our priorities. Our priorities are very important, because this is also going to be something we try to check out as we date. And over here, we'll jump a little bit. If we're touching on it, let's touch on it on all fronts. There's a mashal. Imagine you're climbing a hill, you're climbing a mountain. Mr. Svensson and I, we're climbing a mountain. My right leg is tied to his left leg. We're partners. You guys ever play this in color war, right? Relay races? So my right leg is attached to his left leg. And we're climbing a mountain. And as we climb, we see boulders rolling down at us. Donkey Kong, you guys know this? Yeah? Okay. Once upon a time. Yeah, barrels, right? So We're climbing up the mountain, and we have enough time. We see the barrels, the boulders coming down at us. Some are bigger, some are smaller. And so long as we talk and we come to the same decision, we're okay. One time we're going to say jump, boing. Okay, we're okay. We crossed that one. One time we say let's go right. We go right. The boulder comes down. We're safe. The next time we say let's go left. He comes to my side. We go left. We're safe. Where do problems start happening? The boulder starts coming down. And I say, Jeremiah, let's go left. And he goes, no, let's go right. And the boulder's approaching. I say, Jeremiah, come my way. He says, no, believe me, come my way. This is when it starts getting dangerous. The boulder is approaching, and we're still arguing. Well, that is life. The mountain is the mountain of life. And the person you're tied to is your spouse. And the boulders are the challenges that come at you, which you never know what they're going to be. You don't know if you're going to have challenges in finance. You don't know if you're going to have social challenges. Maybe you're going to discover your neighbor is a mafioso. You don't know if you're going to have familial challenges. Maybe you'll suddenly discover your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, your brother, who knows what. There can be challenges like that. Maybe you'll have educational challenges. Maybe there will be health challenges. Maybe you'll have a miserable boss. There can be a million challenges that plague a person in life and force them to make compromises. And all of life is compromises. Life is about deciding what my values are so I can make the correct compromises. I'm always compromising. Do I live in Jerusalem in a small apartment, but I have this education and have this environment and this community? Or do I move out and have this huge place to live, but now I have a terrible commute and I might have security issues? I might have other things to contend with. Although in Jerusalem, we didn't have security issues. So we in life, we make compromises, we make decisions, and we make them together. When we're dating, we want to find the person who will naturally make the same decision as me. How do I do that? I can't start asking her, well, what will happen if the price of rent goes up like this, and our income is like that, and the children's education costs like this, but over here you have better chinuch, and there you have worse chinuch. You're never going to end. You're never going to understand one another. The only way you could really understand is if you try through conversation to understand priorities. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? Because based on that, you decide what you'll compromise on. You're going to decide where should we live. So we had a student that contacted me. They lived in a place which was very unsafe. And the only way in and out of their building was with an electronic key. There's no way of where they live. And now the question was, is there any way he can go to shul on Shabbos? He can come back and wait for a neighbor to open the door, but it's not safe to stand outside. He has no way to have that door open for him on time. This is where he lives every Shabbat. Is there any way he can open that door? So I couldn't think of a way. I passed the question up to, I don't know if I should say who, one of the big halachic authorities of our day, and he said, no, tell him to daven at home. He cannot carry that card with him. He has no way of doing it, and he shouldn't do something unsafe. So now let's ask a question. Do you want to live in a place where you can't daven in shul ever, every Shabbos of your life? Until they move out of that place? The answer is, for him and her, yes. So they shared a certain value. They had a reason why it was important for them to live there. They both came to the same conclusion. If they would have asked me, I would have said, no way, guys, get out of there. You don't belong there. What's a good Jewish couple living in a place where you can't go to shul? But they didn't ask. They asked a different question. Is there any way we could carry the card with us? I didn't have a way for them to carry the card with them. So now they had to make a decision, and they both came to the same conclusion. So that's a good couple. And that's what I was saying before. Dating is not about what type of person I should be. Dating is about who I am. We'll talk about aspirations. We'll talk about goals and dreams. That's a separate point. But I need someone that matches me based on where I am now. So that when I make decisions, there won't be a fight. On our key decisions, we will be on the same page. So I have to figure out what's important to me. You like going to watch a movie every so often. Okay. You like going to town every so often. Okay. What type of home do you want to build? Do you want a wife that will be happy with the husband that spends his Thursday night on Ben Yehuda? Do you want a wife that will want movies in the house? Do you want a wife that will tell you, yeah, go out with the guys, go watch a movie? Or do you want a wife that has higher expectations? Do you have higher expectations of yourself? Well, wait a second. Where are you today? So part of what we're defining before we go out is, where am I and where do I want to be? And they're both important. There's my value system, which breaks down into two things. It's where I am today, it's where I want to be, and now there's the priorities and the values. But I also have to be honest between where I am and where I want to get to. They're both important, and we will get to the aspirations in a minute. Yes?
Would you think it's a bad idea or a good idea to ask a lot of these questions in a frontal way on a date?
We'll get there.
Okay.
In a nutshell, our goal on a date is to have pleasant conversation. Our goal is not to say, you know, the guy was going on a date and he asked his friend, what do you do on a date? So he says, you have to talk about what people's family, you have to talk about what people like, and you have to talk about philosophy. So he goes on the date. And he asked the girl, family. Oh, you have any siblings? You have a sister? So the girl says, no. He says, okay, spoke about family. He says, what do they like? Do you like ice cream? So the girl goes, no. So he thinks, philosophy. If you would have a sister, do you think she would like ice cream? So we're not trying to do that on date. We're not asking questions directly. We want to have conversation. And if we know where we're headed, what we're trying to find out, then as we pay attention to the conversation, we should get a picture. I'll give examples as we get there. Okay? Okay, so our next point we're trying to figure out is aspirations. I know where I am today. If I want to finish Shas one day, I know where I am today. I want to finish Tanakh every year. I want to finish Shas Mishnayos every month. I want to know the Shulchan Aruch. I have my aspirations. They're important. They're a part of who I am. When we look for a wife, as the relationship evolves, we have to put some of our goals on the table, because we do have to check that we match on those aspirations. If her goal, one girl once told me, I want to marry a guy who will make a lot of money and take me on trips all over the world. I'm a girl who likes to see the world. I've only been to 2 or 3 countries so far, but I want someone who's like me who will enjoy traveling. He should have a good living, and we should travel every year, go see a different country. Okay, that's what's important to her. I wish her that she finds it. I'm not, or evolves in what's important to her. One or the other. But you know what? Again, dating is not about our classes in how we're supposed to be. Dating is about matching who we are to someone else who is like us. In Hebrew, there's a saying, Lekol sir yesh michseh. Every pot has its cover. And when you look around, the more you live, the more you notice it's true. There are all kinds of people who you wonder how they'll ever get married. Suddenly you find they're married and they're building a beautiful life together. And you say, okay. And then there are people who you think they're the most amazing and wonderful people. And you can't figure out how these people don't get married. Amazing people. Some of the most amazing people I know are single and they can't seem to get married. So there's no way that I know of to forecast who's going to get married and who's going to stay single. I think that the classes have, I think from the feedback, they've helped people, and that's our goal, to help people learn what we're looking for. So our goals are important, where I want to go. And as we're dating, that's going to come to the surface. It should come to the surface. We should share it with the other person as we evolve in our relationship. There are other issues which might be more or less important. We'll just touch on them. Health. Let's say a person knows that they have a certain medical issue. So consult with the rabbi. Very often we would recommend not to say that at the very beginning. First get to know the person, and then you might share that. I recommend that students, boys and girls, who are in Machon Meir, Machon Ora, a person is Chozer B'Tshuva, so a person might have been exposed to all kinds of STDs and the like. I think it's responsible that a person should check themselves before you get engaged. You should make sure the girl checked herself. It's a responsible thing to do. When I'm involved in the picture, I definitely ask both parties to do that, to ensure that everyone's fair with themselves and with one another. And now that could include a lot of things. A good doctor will tell you it's, I think, the responsible thing to do. Do you tell the other party about A or B or C? No. Should you talk to her about your irreligious life? Shouldn't be a major part of your relationship. Not in the sense of, we went to a baseball game, it was Pesach, and we had those hot dogs and those buns, and boy, was that delicious. You don't have to tell her that part. You want to tell her your family used to go to baseball games on Pesach. You don't have to mention whether it was Chol HaMoed or Pesach. Just say on Pesach, as a family, we went to a baseball game, right? You don't have to tell her that every time you walk by a lobster store, you're remembering that wonderful flavor of lobster. That's none of her business. Now, if you share that she's a Chozer B'Tshuva and you're a Chozer B'Tshuva, there might be a little bit of where that comes up. But in general, our recommendation is leave that behind you. You're moving on. That's not who you are today. It, to a certain degree, it's a part of who you are, but it's not a major part of who you are, so move on. I once had a girl that showed up to a date and said, can you do a magic trick for me? I said, what? She said, I did my homework. I heard you're a magician. I said, you're right. 20 years ago, I used to do magic shows, but I don't anymore. No, I'm not doing a magic trick. Not even right. No, I didn't even do that one because I felt like she was pulling something from my history that was not relevant. You know, that's not a part of who I am. You know, so I don't regret it, but it's not an important part of who I am. You know, so she pulled out something out of my deep dark history. Okay, so yeah, once upon a time I did magic shows. So what? That's who I am. So she wants to talk about it. I'll tell her a thing or two about it. But you're going to come and ask me questions about my past that are really, to my mind, not a real part of who I am today? Okay. I don't think that's important. I can tell you a bunch of interesting things from my childhood. But why are they important? What? Why is it interesting? Why does it matter? Saying it's a... What? There are a lot of tricks. I have suitcases full of tricks. So what? I could put on a show for 2 hours now. So, and I could turn you into a frog. But I'm not going to do it tonight, right?
That's sleight of hand.
That's sleight of hand, of course. Coming back to, so I don't think that our history has to be placed on the table when we're dating. You don't have to deny your history. You don't have to run away from your history. But that's not a major part of what we're discussing here. Now a person will tell me, but you know what? I've been on this planet for 20, 30, 40 years. There's definitely a lot to talk about. Okay, as much as you feel that's a part of who you are, I'm not saying you should hide it. That's something to discuss on some level. Just like we talk about our past a little bit. But our main focus in dating is who we are and where we're headed and who the other person is and do we match. And our history is not as important. Family. So, family comes up in dating. I find that people get very funny when they talk about family. It's like a raw nerve by most people. This person has an issue with his brother, and that person has an issue with their mother, and that person has an issue with their father, and that person has an issue with their grandparent, and everyone has their issues. It's a very charged subject by many people. I don't know that you have to go into great detail. So yes, it is common that on the first date or two, we ask, how many siblings do you have? Where'd you grow up? What do your siblings do? You get a little bit of a picture. But don't be judgmental of what you hear about the other person's family, because you don't really know what's going on. Right? There's a lot to it that you don't know. You don't know where it's coming from. Right? There are many stories. I think you guys get the picture, right? I don't have to go there. So we do talk about family a little bit, I think it is insightful. I think it is worth understanding a little bit about where the other person grew up, because at the end of the day, you do bring your home with you to the home you're trying to build, and therefore it does help to a little degree. But at the end of the day, you might not get there, and I certainly wouldn't get there in the first dates. Wait, down the road, you can visit that. Okay, let's recap what we covered today, and then see if you guys have koch to do a little more, or we'll switch to other stuff. We discussed being at equilibrium before you start dating. We discussed that equilibrium is hard to define for ourselves. Very often it's much better to ask someone external. And if you can check the five parameters in the course of a six-month period, preferably 12-month period. We discussed the idea that it's your responsibility, your decision, your life. You will be living with the outcomes. And so take responsibility when you make the decisions. We discussed the idea that once you've decided you're ready to date, you have to try and define for yourself what your values are, what your priorities are. We said priorities are going to be the decisive force in most of your decisions in life. You want to pick someone who shares priorities with you. We're still going to discuss how you discover one another's priorities. We discussed not to be blinded. You're not marrying a girl for her looks. Looks are important. You have to be comfortable with her looks, and we will revisit that down the road, but they're not what you're marrying. The main point of what you're marrying is a partner with whom you will build a home and who will be the mother of your children. So you have to be comfortable with the person's looks. It says in the Gemara, in the Halacha, but that's not the main focus. And we discussed our goals, that our goals are important and they show up. We discussed our history, and that our history is not so important. It's a part of who we are, but we don't have to bring all those details to full color and bring them to the table. I want to end with an example. We had a student whose parents were Jewish, but we had more than one student like this, but they were Jews for Jay. And he asked me if before they get married, he could take his challah to visit his parents' house. So I said, forget the halacha. I think it's a very bad idea. So he said to me, what's wrong? I said, I believe that over your bed you have a cross, and there's someone hanging on that cross. And I believe that when this girl dated you, she didn't think that visiting your parents' house, she would walk into the house and see crosses and lie down on a bed and look up and see him looking down at her. I don't think that's what she envisioned. So when you spoke to her about your past and you told her that your parents do this, she understood it in a general way. And I don't think it's fair to force her to face all that, you know, in live color. Leave it. Your parents live on another continent. You're going to see them once every few years. They're not a major part of your life. Why do you have to shock her and show her all the full color of what it means that your parents are doing that? She understands they're doing that in a general way. In the details, it's not fair to her to put her in that difficult situation. They went, and she had the shock of her life, right? She called from there, like, in tears. Like, she said, I want to marry him, but I wasn't ready for this, right? Okay, they got married. They built they have a beautiful life, but he gave her too much color, and she agreed to go with it, but it made her life much, much harder. It made their engagement harder. It made things harder. It's not necessary. So when we're dating, we don't always have to go into all the details of where we're coming from. It's not important and it's not beneficial. It's enough that we say in a general way, yeah, I had a girlfriend. Yeah, say there are things in my past I'm trying to forget, I'm trying to move on from. We don't have to go into all the details, and it's better not to go into all the details. It's in our interest and their interest, and the same courtesy we should afford them. Don't go asking her all kinds of questions that'll make her uncomfortable. There are things that we understand in a general way, and we might not. It might not be a good idea to go into too many details. Gentlemen, we'll move over to Tanakh, or you guys want